The reading today is from 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 13, and can be found on page 1161 of the Church Bible. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favour, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the time of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonment and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonour, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We've spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Jane. And it's lovely to be here, still just this week, part of the same family, until next week when we will be cast off from you. But I look forward to coming back at the end of August to have a family reunion, so to speak. Anyway, it's lovely to be here, and lots of greetings and love from St. Paul's, Howell Hill. I wonder if you have read, some of you, I don't imagine all of you, but who has read a book or know of a book by Gary Chapman called Five Love Languages? Few people? Yeah, quite a few people. I thought we would do a bit of interaction here, so please, I know St. Mary's are good at this, so can you remind us of them? Could you like to call out or wave a hand, and who knows one of the love languages? Agape. Oh, that's a different, slightly different thing. It's not from the book as agape, but you're not wrong, but the five love languages in the book are how we demonstrate our love for one another. Can somebody do the first one? Yeah, well, gifts, giving, yeah. We sometimes show our love to people by giving them a present, giving them money even, giving them something. Anybody else on another one? Oh, touch, thank you very much. Yes, we often show our love by touch. I've been seeing a few hugs and kisses here at St. Mary's this morning. So we've got gifts and touch. Words. We use words. And you were just demonstrating that in that activity earlier on, that we use words to encourage one another and to love. And somebody else said acts of kindness. That's another one that we give. So you think of something, maybe even this morning, if you live with somebody, perhaps you have done some small act of kindness, putting the lid back on the toothpaste, or mopping up the marmalade that was left on the tablecloth. But the last one is to give time. So we've got gifts, words, time, kindness and touch. Five love languages, ways in which we show our love to one another. Do you remember that cartoon, Love Is, Kim Casale? Really pretty cheesy stuff, I think. I don't know if you remember any of them, but Love Is watching a sunset together. Love Is never having to say you're sorry. Well, actually, we don't believe that, do we, really? Love is often having to say sorry, I think. Well, in 1 Corinthians, written also by Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, I'm sure you know, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a passage you know pretty well, I'm sure, about what love is according to the Bible. And it includes things like love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, doesn't boast, isn't proud, love is not rude. Lots of things beside that. So the Bible tells us something of what love is. In our passage this morning, that 2 Corinthians passage, we get another perspective about what love is. It's really quite a different one at times. It says love is about beatings and imprisonment, troubles, hardship and distress, surviving riots and hard work, sleepless nights and hunger. Well, some of you know about sleepless nights if you've had small children, or you've got someone you live with who's just disturbed at night. You'll know about sleepless nights. Much of the time, though, the way we show love to one another doesn't normally require going to prison for them, though in perhaps other circumstances we might be asked to do something like that. But what Paul is describing here is the incredible passionate love that he and his fellow missionaries have been experiencing because they love Jesus so much. The hardships they've gone through are because of the passionate love they feel for Jesus. So in a way, this passage is also defining what love is for us. It goes on to present a more a good thing and a bad thing. So we get he talks about glory and dishonour. Serving God involves both glory and dishonour. It involves having a bad report as well as having a good report. Sometimes leaders may do things that get a pretty bad report in certain quarters. At other times, there'll be lots of people saying perhaps good things about them. Paul has experienced all these things, and he's outlining what it's cost, what sort of sacrifice it has cost him to be a person who really loves Jesus. Not who just says he loves Jesus, but who actually acts it out. And this morning, we're particularly wanting to honour those who have sacrificed much, those who have given up their homes, their close links with their families, perhaps, maybe given up education or ambitions, good reputations, or their ambitions to be high up in the job that they were doing. And many who have sacrificed comfort and the niceness of living in Surrey. Many who have decided to do something different because they love Jesus so much. So what does God call us to do in response? Do we too have to show love one for another? And can we show love for those we've been talking about, our mission partners, our partners who are serving God in different ways beyond these walls? What can we do to respond out of passionate love for Jesus? What is our love language going to be for those who are serving God in such sacrificial ways? Maybe God might call us to offer more money to them. Perhaps he will call you to pray more persistently, more regularly. Maybe he will really put in your heart a great compassion for those people who are serving in that way. And that might express itself in a different way, perhaps in words, or in giving time, or in acts of kindness. I think we'll pause in a moment and ask God to just lay on our heart what he's asking us to sacrifice, to give, for the sake of those who have given already. But I did just want to point out, at the end of this passage, there's this challenging bit that Paul says, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us." As you approach, and it's a way off yet, but as you approach a time where a new leader will come in, there will be temptation, perhaps, to grumble or disagree, and that might be valid, but I think this passage encourages us to have open hearts to those who are serving us and who are serving the Lord. And Paul says right at the end, as a fair exchange, open wide your hearts also. And I wonder if that's a word for the weeks and months that are ahead of St. Mary's, to open wide your hearts, our hearts, to those we don't know very well yet, but those who are serving the Lord, maybe alongside us, or ultimately the person who will be leading you. Let's have that moment to pause now and ask God, how is he asking us to wait on him? How is he asking us to respond to him and to his word? Let's be still and quiet and allow the Holy Spirit, and we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, come upon us and help us respond to your word.